All right, well, hey parents and students, this is Dave here, and I've got my good buddy Stephen Anderson here.
It's good to be here, Dave.
And this is kind of, you know, this is a unique podcasting for us, because usually I'm just preaching at everybody, but in this one, we get to dialogue with Stephen Anderson. And let me just, okay, so here, our topic today, we're going to talk a little bit about... I guess it's kind of a mixture of personal testimony.
Yeah. Best practices, personal testimony combined with best practices. I don't know if they're actually best. I guess I'll leave that to you. But I think that's kind of what we're going for here.
What were things you look back at college? Of course, you're a graduate now.
I am. It's weird.
Oh my goodness.
I had to put it down job thing for Towers earlier, said that I had graduated Clemson University, and that was the first time that I had ever had to do that, and that was weird. And it's an adjustment period right now, but it's cool.
Yeah, it's what a privilege. I mean,
honored, Dave.
No, not here. Yeah, it is. What a privilege to be in my presence.
Yes.
What a privilege to be a Clemson graduate.
That really is a privilege. That's been one of the. I think this thus far has been the best 4 years of my life, and I guess that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. So Stephen and I were actually at a wedding a few days ago, and we were just talking about some roommates that he had through college, and it got us thinking about I guess I just kind of said, hey Stephen, that was awesome. You spent 2 or 3 years with some good Christian roommates you'd met at RUF when you were at Clemson. And it just got me thinking about, that was an awesome decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just got us talking about, what were some other decisions that God led you to make, or that you just made because you had a good gospel upbringing and you're in the church, but you made decisions and you look back and think, man, these are decisions I'm glad I made. In my years at Clemson. But you know what? Before we get into that, how about we do this? How about we talk about, even before we talk about good decisions, some of the challenges that maybe you personally faced or you saw other Christians facing when they were in college?
Yeah. So what I did when I was kind of looking through my notes, my mental notes from the 4 years that I spent at Clemson, I was trying to think about the challenges that I've seen other Christians and myself face. And I came up with three main topics. That of conformity, how a Christian can negatively conform to everything that's around them, and how that can really harm their faith. And then the second one that I came up with was something that I call half Christianity, but is really... is a cultural Christianity, and that's more of a wearing Christianity like it's a set of clothes instead of something that is really inside of you and that you own. It's more of something that you take on and off at your leisure. And then finally, the final challenge that I came up with was isolation. No Christian is meant to be alone. And community, which is one of the blessings that I think we'll talk about, is so important to a Christian in their walk with Christ. Because people are mirrors for each other. You see things about me that I could never see on my own. The same goes for my roommate saying something about me, or vice versa. But without the community that a Christian often exists in your case, it is found in the church. Mm-hmm. In my case, it was found through my roommates in RUF and various other friends in the church, but those were the main ones. Without that community, that mirror doesn't exist in the same way mm-hmm. that it would otherwise. And so it becomes much harder for us to see, okay, this is something that I need to improve on in myself, mm-hmm. or this is something that I'm doing really good, or something that I'm doing really bad. Because a mirror isn't just about seeing the negative things about yourself. It's also for encouragement, making sure that you're looking nice to a party. The same thing goes for people in the church and people in community. Encouragement is something that in my years at Clemson, I know kept me going where otherwise, I don't know where I would have ended up, whether it was, whether it was in the back of some truck waking up not remembering the night, or some just degrading my overall quality of life without encouragement. But
you know, there's a quote, and actually Pastor Larry says this a lot. It's from a German pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Mm-hmm.
And Bonhoeffer said that Christ, the gospel coming from the mouth of my brother, is louder than the gospel coming from my own heart. And what it means by that is I can tell myself every day, God loves you. Jesus died for you. He is risen. He's going to raise you. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. I can tell myself that over and over. And I don't know, on a scale of 1 to 10, that's got, you know, maybe an effectiveness of 3.
Yeah.
But at when best, you, but well, yeah, that's right. At best. But if I hear from another brother that says, no, no, I have seen God at work in your life. You know, there's a higher effectiveness on this, you know, there's a 7, there's an 8. I don't know what the number is, what value it has. But hearing a brother or a sister speak the gospel to us, it's louder than what we tell ourselves. So we kind of started going into that third point about isolation. Did you want to maybe go back and unpack some of those other points?
Yeah, I had initially thought that I would list them and then start unpacking them, but I saw the way to go into isolation, so I guess I put that one at the front.
All right, let's do it. Let's keep going. So I mean, you had mentioned. You know, you'd made some decisions about, or at least you weren't isolated because of roommates and some other communities you had. Take us to. Here's someone, they're walking on campus, any college, first day of campus, and you know, what do they need to be? What do they need to be looking for to kind of avoid that? I'm thinking of a Christian, and most of these are Christian kids, Christian students that are listening to this, and parents of Christian kids. I mean, where do they go? What do they do? You know, wear Christian t-shirts and say, I'm Christian. Someone help me.
Please talk to me. I'm homeless.
That's right. I'm lonely. Help.
I think that it's a good question, and it has so many different answers that I can't say this is what you should do. But instead I can say, this is what I did and it worked for me.
Let's do it.
And so pull it, what I did, just as a brief overview, I've been plugged into 2 churches, both Clemson Presbyterian Church and Covenant Presbyterian Church, in varying degrees during my time at Clemson. And I've also been involved in lots of intramural sports and RUF, which is the Presbyterian extension of the church on a college campus. That's what I did, and it's been, all of those in one way or another have been huge blessings for me. Now, pulling back a little bit, I'm not saying your child has to go to RUF. I'm not saying your child even has to go to Clemson University. What I am saying is that getting plugged into a church, regardless of where that is or how that looks, is the first step. Because that is a place where community thrives, like the community that we mentioned earlier, that I mentioned earlier, that is a place where your student can go to be refreshed and hearing the gospel, where your student can get plugged in with people that can in turn point them in a direction that they may not have realized existed for something that they can do. It sets a direction so well for so many different directions, because no 2 students are going to be the same and their interests are what they want to do. But getting plugged into a church, I'd say, is the most important. And then secondly, getting plugged into a campus ministry, whether it is directly involved with that church or is its own entity, is also really important, because a campus ministry offers something that a church can't quite, and that is a concentration of their peers in one room that likely are there for the same reason, and that is because they are Christians. Now, it's not a completely isolated environment, and I don't think that a completely isolated environment would be good for a student. There, in any campus ministry, in any church, in any part of life that you have to deal with a concentration of humans, you're going to have things that are sometimes difficult. There have been some difficult situations mm-hmm. that have arisen within RUF, and it's a Christian ministry. So that shouldn't be a deterrent, though. Mm-hmm. That is something that I think has prepared me for dealing with those situations beyond the bubble that is a college campus.
Right.
Because a college campus is a bubble. Make no mistake. But within that, there's a lot of stuff that can happen. And having that happen within people that hopefully would come to love your child, mm-hmm. I think is the best way for any new college student or older college student.
You know, you just hit on something, and I think is huge. You talked about, you know, going through trials or afflictions or difficulties, whatever it is, mm-hmm. but going through those in that Christian community. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you said that, because some students, some adults, man, all of us, you might be going through a difficult time, and oftentimes what we want to do is isolate ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm suffering. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed.
I want to go hide.
I want to hide. I failed. I don't want to show my face in front of these people anymore. And if they know me personally well, they know why I'm embarrassed or whatever. Mm-hmm. For you to say, I was able to go through those trials, either personal trials or as a group trials, but we kind of went through them together. That's exactly what we're meant to be for each other, mm-hmm. not to run into isolation. Can we move on to one of the other two? I mean, we're talking about some of the great challenges, or you went through, or you saw others go through when they first started making their decisions on a college campus. Mentioned this, the challenge of isolation, not getting mm-hmm. plugged in. But I don't know, we have a couple others. Do you want to choose either conformity or half Christianity?
Yeah, I think conformity is kind of like a chameleon. It can take a lot of different shapes within whatever group a student would choose to enter, whether that's RUF, whether that's a campus ministry or a fraternity or any group on a college campus. Conformity is a huge temptation, because a lot of the fears that an incoming freshman, and especially an incoming freshman, but any college student will have, is being accepted and wanting to feel like they're a part of something.
So did you find in your experience that pressure was greater on a college campus than high school? Did you find it that there was a desire to conform more, that it was easier to conform more on a college campus than what it was in your years in high school?
I don't think it was greater. I think it was different. And I think it had, that conformity had more repercussions down the line than conformity in high school would. Because for better or for worse, your time in high school is finite. It's 4 years in, 4 years out, and you get to start over again. The connections that you make in college and the impressions that you make likely will follow you for a long time, if not the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And so the impact that you making decisions not based on it being something that you actively want to do, but instead those decisions are birthed from a sense of, well, I really need these people to like me, or I really need to maintain a certain image to get this internship. it can take a lot of different shapes. But the impact of that shapes who you are moving forward, because that's mm-hmm. what college is. It's a great incubator mm-hmm. for the person mm-hmm. that you're gonna become coming mm-hmm. out of that.
Mm-hmm.
My dad always talked about, made the analogy of people being like concrete, and the younger they are, the more
it's a
easily
good analogy for an architect.
Yeah, and a construction science major.
That's right.
But the younger you are, the more moldable you are. But the older you get, the more you harden. And that college is the final, really, I think, some of the final steps of the hardening process that that people have. And then after that, it's life.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get many more chances to choose who you are, how you're going to act within a certain situation, or mm-hmm. How you're going to respond to situations beyond whatever those you face in college.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a long answer to that.
No, it's good. I mean, well, and it dovetails perfectly with what you said a minute ago. You know, if I'm not plugged in to, you know, I mean, God's plan, even from the beginning, Adam and Eve, is it's not good for Adam to be alone. And of course, his answer to that particular relationship was marriage, but
mm-hmm.
He's saying that to us all the time. It's not good to be alone. So to be plugged into the church, the bride of Christ, to be a part of that, is where you get reminded of who you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the place where the gospel is preached in, you know, preached in sermons, but also just preached in conversations that say, okay, yeah, you know, this... You feel tempted to conform yourself to this particular identity, but that's not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's who you feel you are. But those two things go together. Well, I can see the connection between the temptation to be conformed to this world, but in isolation, that temptation is a whole lot harder.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned being conformed to the world. That, I think, is only one part of conformity, because you can still conform within the context of a church or a campus ministry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You can wear a particular set of clothes. You can be a part of a particular friend group that you think will get you farther than the other people that you might like more. Mm. Conformity does not isolate it to...
That's good.
Secular anything.
Mm-hmm.
It is pervasive. And if you think of it as not pervasive, then that's the first step into falling into that trap.
So, and that probably leads into that last point. You know, we're kind of asking the question, what are challenges that you saw other Christians facing on college campus? We talked about the challenge of isolating yourself, the challenge of conforming. And then you mentioned this challenge of half Christianity. What do you mean by half Christianity?
It's an issue that I think is unique to the South. Another name for it that you might be more familiar with is cultural Christianity. And it's Christianity for the sake of appearances, at least according to my definition of things. Because within the Bible Belt, where we are, everybody goes to church. Everybody says, yeah, I'm a Christian, because if they say that they're not, or say that they're an atheist or something, then the likelihood of them getting a funny look or having some doors closed to them that they may want to remain open, the likelihood of that is far greater than if they just say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I will check the boxes necessary for me to be able to move within these circles. And what that creates is a sense of confusion, especially for young college students who may see somebody that professes Christianity, and then they also see that person on a Saturday night doing things that that Christ does not condone. Now, that's not to say that people don't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
People
mm-hmm.
definitely overindulge, whatever that might be in. But when that overindulgence becomes a pattern hidden behind a mask of Christianity just for the sake of keeping up appearances
mm-hmm.
everywhere else, that's more what I'm that's why I call it kind of a half Christianity, because it's like I mentioned earlier, it's just a surface level lip service to something that should be something that guides your whole life, not just mm-hmm. how people look at you.
Yeah. So yeah, you got your major, and your major is going to care for you financially. You've got
hopefully
that's right. Hopefully you have me. All right, major, that'll help you make some money. And then you've got you got relationships. Maybe that'll help you kind of find some sort of social fulfillment. And then you got your religion over here that maybe can give you a little bit of some counsel and some guidance in life. And so it's one of many parts. In that sense, it's just cultural. It's just clothes that I put on. It's part of who I am.
Yep.
Part of the soup of who I am is you put a little dash of Christianity into it, and that's that makes me up. And what you're saying is that's very easy to do. It's very easy to do any part of life. You mentioned that kind of cultural Christianity here in the South, but it's easy to do on a college campus.
And I think it takes different forms other places. It's just in this particular area of the country.
Yeah.
Because Christianity is thankfully prevalent, it means that people want to be around those people that can get them places, and those often happen to be within Christian circles. That's just what I've seen. There are probably many more instances of how that can negatively affect somebody. One instance is how that negatively impacts other people's perception of the church,
mm-hmm.
and how somebody that sees someone who treats Christianity as an ingredient in soup or just a t-shirt. Mm. And then they also see them making that mistake, but willfully, their perception of the church is going to be tainted. I've talked to a lot of people that was their experience of the church. They would see people partying on Saturday, and then they would see them in church on Sunday, and they didn't know which face to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just chose to not talk to either one of them and removed themselves from the church because that was their experience of the church, when in reality, they saw something that is not of the church.
Yeah.
It is just around the church.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I think we'll probably have to do a second recording here to talk about.
Oh, yeah, we've talked a while.
No, it's been great. You got so much great insight. I mean, not only are these three good pieces, good perception on three challenges, but they all kind of lead into one another.
Mm-hmm.
If a student decides I'm going to isolate myself, I'm not going to try and get plugged into a church or stay plugged into my church or get plugged into a Christian community. Well, then they're going to be formed and shaped by some other message. Some other message is going to conform them,
mm-hmm.
But they're going to try and hold on to the relics of their Christian upbringing. So they end up, having this soup of identities, and they not only is it confusing to everyone at church or everyone at the college campus around them, but they even start to lose their own sense of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who I am because I'm no longer connected to hearing the gospel preached to me every day, spending time with God's people reminding me of the good news.
Mm-hmm.
I am interested in our next podcast to hear hear you kind of talk about some of the decisions that you had to make facing some of these challenges, or maybe even some different challenges that you personally faced, but just decisions you had to make, and you look back and you go, man, I didn't know it at the time, but that decision was crucial. Like that, I've heard the illustration of, if you're just kind of a millimeter off in launching a rocket to go to the moon,
mm-hmm.
you're way off by the time by the time you don't get there, I don't know. You end up far off.
By the time you miss the move,
that's right.
You're going to be very aware of that fact when you just thought, hey, it's a millimeter.
Yeah.
Thankfully,
we'll adjust in flight.
Well, also, thankfully, I'm not the one measuring. Yeah. I am definitely not the pilot of my...
Oh, that's really good.
Of my craft. I have a God that does that for me, thankfully.
That's good. And that, that's a good place to end on. So thanks, students, parents who are listening to this. We're gonna do another one here. And please stay seated, or maybe go get a cup of coffee, or maybe you're driving on your way into work this morning, and you'll listen to the next podcast tomorrow. But we look forward to talking with you next time. All right, thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Dave.
Yep.